Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
Savage Nation. The news is not the Muslim gunman who took hostages. The news is the insanity of the West, the paralysis of the West, the liberalism of the West that is killing us and will kill all of us. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We were listening since last night, and you couldn't hear the word Muslim or Islam or terror if you tried. It was about a hostage, the hostage taker. It was about a gunman. No mention of Islam, no mention of Muslim, no mention of the Arabic saying, nothing. Nothing. It was about a gunman, a hostage. Then, to make matters worse, after it's all over, and the brave Australian Special Force police, whatever they call them there, threw in the stun grenades that went in with their machine guns blasting and killed this piece of garbage and sent him to hell where he belongs, and I probably killed two other hostages unless that piece of garbage from Iran killed the other two hostages. We don't know yet. To make matters worse, immediately, the brainwashed liberals in Australia start talking about the backlash against Muslims. And they put together a hashtag. I'll ride along with you. You're not going to believe this. Listen to clip 23 of The Insanity of Liberalism.
So it's this nice story of a woman who, hearing about these attacks, she feared anti-Muslim sentiment as a backlash. And this woman said, you know what, keep your religious attire on. We are tolerant people. She posted about it on Facebook. Another TV editor picked it up, and she posted, if anyone's going on a train at this time, hashtag I'll ride with you. Oh. It has been all over Twitter. I mean, this is, we're talking thousands of tweets a minute.
Isn't that wonderful? The world according to tweet. Listen to number 24 now on the Savage Nation.
In light of terrorism or, you know, a racially motivated, religiously motivated attack, you know, the idea is Australians coming together and saying we are tolerant and we won't, you know, we will challenge this with peace.
Oh, isn't that nice? So they're already challenging the invisible backlashers, even though there aren't any. Right away, the psycho liberals move into high gear and they're ready for the, there is no backlash. How about the forelash of the Muslim who took hostages, you stupid idiots, you? Gunman, hostage, no mention of Muslim or Islam. The first time you hear the word Muslim is about anti-Muslim sentiment rather than the Muslim who did this. So let's begin with a montage you put together of the useless idiots in the media, with useless idiot number one being Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
Police in Sydney stormed the cafe where a gunman had been holding employees and customers hostage for almost 17 hours.
Australian police surround a cafe in the center of Sydney where a gunman is holding staff and customers hostage.
Apparently, some of the requests that this gunman has made, even though we haven't been able to confirm exactly what they are.
What a tense situation in Australia right now. The nation's biggest city under siege. Look at that police roadblock right there. The gunman just 100 yards away.
In a dramatic scene in the last few hours, at least five hostages managed to get free, apparently released by the gunman as part of negotiations with the police.
Bob Orr joins us now as well. And Bob, as we heard Clarissa mention, this gunman is known to the Australian government.
But we are hearing some things, and we are hearing because some of those hostages are contacting media outlets and relaying information from the gunman.
Turn it off. I tell you the truth. If the mindset that exists in the West today had existed in 1939, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. And the most galling part of this Muslim terrorist act in Australia to me was the useful idiots in the media continuously repeating the banner and what it means, continuously talking about the religious statement on that banner. It got me so crazy. They were doing exactly what this piece of garbage wanted them to do. So the question to the audience today on the Savage Nation is, what steps would you take to stop Islamic extremists from attacking you in this country? taking you hostage in a cafe, taking your children hostage in a school. What would you do right now? Now, you see, there used to be profiling until Mayor Bloomberg's pink shorts arrived in the mayor's office, and he eliminated the NYPD's ability in New York City, for example, to proactively monitor mosques where they knew radicalism was being preached, and radicals who would go off tended to congregate. There were many of them in New York and around America. We know that. But the liberal establishment cracked down and said, you can't do that. It's against civil liberties. And I think when Mayor de Blasio took over, he's no longer de Blasio to me. He has debased the mayor's office. So Mayor de Blasio comes to power, and I think it was him. It could have been Bloomberg. They eliminated proactive policing, and they said you cannot monitor mosques. The media wants to make this not about religion, except when they fear a backlash against Muslims. But what about the forelash by the Muslim? The man was a known Muslim crazy man. Not so sure he was so crazy, by the way. How do we know he's crazy? He was an Iranian sheik out on bail for ex-wife's murder who compared the dead war heroes in Australia to Nazis, and he used to send hate letters to the parents of dead soldiers in Australia, and yet they didn't arrest him. This piece of garbage was given 300 hours of community service. I guess that would be working in a halal slaughterhouse. For sending hate mail to the dead families of Australian, dead families? To the families of dead Australian soldiers killed fighting in Afghanistan. Calling herself the brother, Monis, this morning held staff and customers hostage in Sydney in what experts roundly believe to be a so-called lone wolf attack. None of these are lone wolf attacks. They're not lone wolf attacks. That's a cover-up for the fact that we're at war. It's a cover-up for the fact that they're at war. It's a cover-up for the fact that they've been giving their marching orders, given their marching orders by ISIS. They've been told to do these things. Don't give me this garbage about lone wolf. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. It's going to kill all of us. Tensions surface as Australian Muslims fear Sydney's siege backlash. Now, there was no backlash, but right away, the Muslim pressure groups were screaming and hiding behind racism already in advance. One man stood up and screamed outside the event, the cafe, someone is going to die here because of Islam. There is no such thing as moderate Islam. Wake up and smell the coffee. He was arrested immediately by the Australian PC police. And he was confronted by another man, a brainwashed liberal, who screamed, Muslims are welcome here. The siege coincides with growing concerns in Australia about the dangers posed by Islamist militants. Islamist militants, right. So the question to the audience today on my program is, what would you do to prevent an Islamist terrorist attack in America? What steps would you take? And a secondary question is, why does the media hide the Islamic threat? All that entered my mind was, if each of them had had a gun, this piece of offal would have gone to his virgins within 5 minutes. Of course, that's assuming they want guns. That's assuming that he also wouldn't have had a handgun. I understand all of the ramifications, but these cowards thrive on the fact that most people have no way to defend themselves. What, are you going to throw a hot Frappuccino at him? You know, then you're going to hear the liberals saying that, you know, we failed him. He slipped through the cracks. If only there had been social services for irate Muslims. If only we had served them a hot halal cappuccino before the event. If only 1% of Australians would have converted to Islam, this wouldn't have happened. Wait, wait, you'll hear this. You'll hear this. You won't believe what's coming. Rama and WMAL, go ahead. You're first up this Monday on the Savage Nation. What's your point?
My point, Mike, is I really don't agree with you. I think you're reacting with the same way that the Islamic guys are reacting.
All right, so I now committed the crime. Great, you're predictable. Okay, what do you work for, CARE?
No, I'm just myself. I'm just trying to live a peaceful life, Mike, and I don't see.
Well, he said he wanted to lead a peaceful life. That terrorist. What are you, one of his friends? Listen to clip two. Here's a man who just committed this crime. Listen to clip two.
I do everything I do for the safety of all nations, including the nation of Australia. We want peace. We don't want war.
Well, you sound like him, don't you?
I don't want war with anybody, Mike. I don't want war with you or with him either.
Well, you just said that I'm as bad as him.
No, I didn't say you were bad.
Well, you did. You said I'm as bad as him right out of the gate, right away. I'm bad for saying we got to do something to stop these Islamists before they kill all of us. What is wrong with my statement? Don't you know how a nation defends itself?
Mike, what I think is wrong is that the anger is not going to make things...
Oh, the anger. Now the anger's the problem. Not raping children in Iraq. That's not your problem? Do you know that the Islamic State is using the Quran to justify raping little girls? Do you know that, Rama?
We're also doing wrong things, Mike, and we shouldn't be doing them either.
What is equal to raping little girls and using a religious book to justify it? Tell me what crime in America equals that one.
We've got thousands of nuclear weapons that could start a nuclear war any minute, Mike.
You know, you're a sick person. I don't know what country you came from, but whichever one you came from, you should go back to. Thank you for the not calling. In fact, don't ever call the show. Men like you destroy the IQ of the listeners just by listening to you. Here's the article, in case you think I'm being extremist. Listen carefully, you fools, you idiots out there. I'm reading the article. Listen very carefully. Islamic State uses the Quran to justify child rape. The Islamic State has made clear its justification for the rape and enslavement of non-Muslim women and children with a color-printed pamphlet, question and answers on female slaves and their freedom, being distributed in Mosul, Iraq, a city that had been completely free of this insanity by American troops. And it is now infested and infected by Islamists as a result of Obama's weakness and false pacifism. Armed men handed out the pamphlet in the Islamist-occupied Iraqi city on Friday after sunset Muslim prayers. Now listen carefully. Are you ready for the pamphlet? It is disgusting. Quote, if she was a virgin, he, the owner of her, can have intercourse with her immediately after the ownership is fulfilled, the pamphlet explains. If she was not a virgin, her uterus must be purified, wait for her period to be sure she is not pregnant. I'll read on from the religion of peace when it has total power. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. About the media cover-up of the fact that this was an Islam-related attack in Australia. It is sickening. A nation dies through lies. Remember that. A nation dies through lies. By covering up the source of this gunman's insanity, which is directly related to his religious fanaticism, you do not do yourself a favor. Hiding under the cover is not going to save you. And I want to go back to an important story that didn't make it to your local rag. The Islamic State gave out a color-printed pamphlet on Friday in Mosul, Iraq, on how to handle a female slave and how to rape young girls and how it was justified by the Quran. I am not inventing this. Go to michaelsavage.com and see the story. If she was a virgin, he, the owner of the virgin, can have intercourse with her immediately after the ownership is fulfilled. The pamphlet explains, CNN reported. If she was not a virgin when you took her captive, her uterus must be purified before you can have sex with her. The Islamic guide lays out other rules as well. For example, two low-life vermin who co-own a slave can't both have sex with her, and a man can't have sex with his wife's slave. Now, this is in the year 2014. Regarding children, are you ready for this one, all of you apologists for Islam? Quote, it is permissible to have intercourse with the female slave who hasn't reached puberty if she is fit for intercourse. But the Islamic State rules the following. If she is not fit for intercourse, he, the owner, can only enjoy her without intercourse. But the question and answer makes it clear that the captors have complete control of their captives. The Muslim pamphlet reads the following. It is permissible to buy, sell, or give as a gift female captives and slaves for the Amili property. Now, let me repeat what this is about. these throwbacks, these vermin, these 8th century pieces of garbage have captured tens of thousands of Christian girls and women and Azidi women and girls, and we're doing nothing because of the fraud in the White House, because of the faker in the White House. You know, all my life in the 50s, I heard about the Jews in the concentration camps and how we did nothing to save the Jews. Well, I dare one Jew to stand up in this country. I'm talking about professional Jews of the types that run the big mouth organizations. I'd like one Jew to stand up for the Christians and the Yazidis who are slaves in Iraq and in Syria right now. I haven't heard one of them with their big mouths. Not one of them! They weren't there for me, and they're there for nobody. They're self-serving nobodies. It goes on. If a female slave runs away from one of the Muslims, she's committing one of the gravest of sins. A captive mother cannot be separated from her young children. And a pregnant slave cannot be sold. Isn't it a compassionate religion? I mean, when you think about it, it's a compassionate religion. If you capture a young Christian woman who's pregnant, you can't sell her. It's a very civilized, advanced culture, according to the guidelines. Pay attention, all of you women who are worried about men looking at you as you walk past a construction site, you fools. Listen to this one. Beating a female slave for discipline is allowed, Gloria Allred. But beating a female slave for pleasure as a form of torture is not, CNN reported. Well, that's a very compassionate saying right there. The pamphlet is the most detailed justification for enslaving non-Muslims as identified by the Islamic State, and the group continues to cite the Quran and Sharia law for the rules. They cite the Quran and Sharia law as justification for raping children. When have you heard of a Muslim leader who has condemned ISIS recently? When has CAIR come out and attacked ISIS? When have you heard one person, the American or Western media, talk about the Islamic State using the Quran to justify child rape? Now you say, well, what does it have to do with the Muslim in Australia? Everything. Because he used the Quran to justify his attacks against these innocent people in the cafe. He said that he was angry because Australia was launching airstrikes against these scum in Iraq and in Syria. So he took it upon himself. Do you actually believe he was a lone wolf? There are no lone wolves. None of them are lone wolves. They're all following the same playbook. As we have seen in America, we're told lone wolf, so we go about our business. And then we find out that they're not lone wolves. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The sacred Islamist who was whacked by the Australian soldiers was whacked because the Islamic psychotic had started to kill hostages, according to the latest report. Police were negotiating with the psychotic Muslim and said they had no information to suggest anyone had been hurt, but there's two dead and the piece of garbage, and they had to do it. And they had to do it because they were afraid the psychotic was going to kill everyone in the cafe. And that's what happened. Now, what you're hearing is a cover-up from the top to the bottom. We played a montage. You could not hear the word Islam, Muslim. You couldn't hear the word related to the actual situation. It was all about gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen. In the last segment, I read for you a story that is perhaps the sickest and saddest story I've ever read in my life. I couldn't sleep over the weekend when I first saw it. The Islamic State is using the Quran to justify child rape in a color brochure that they're giving out to the vermin who fight alongside them, the losers from around the world, the dregs of human societies everywhere. Go there so they can rape children and rape captured Christian and Azidi women. And we're doing nothing because of the fraud in the White House. I'm not going to read you the rules for these vermin again, because you can find it yourself on michaelsavage.com. It was posted by CNN. If you think I'm a right-winger, then you may as well accuse CNN of being a right-wing outlet as well. Because CNN, to their credit, posted this first about buying and selling and beating female captives and raping children. It says it is permissible to have intercourse with a female slave who hasn't reached puberty if she is fit for intercourse the so-called Islamic State rules said. However, if the slave is not fit for intercourse, he, the owner, can only enjoy her without intercourse. That's the religion of peace, and they use the Quran, and they use Sharia law to justify these activities or actions. Shall I ask you how you feel about that? Because I don't want to know how you feel about that. I know how I feel about it. And right away, we have I'll Ride Along With You hashtag all over the world. Right away, they're worried about the reaction, the so-called the, what do they call it now? The backlash against Islam. They're only concerned all of the knee-jerk, drug-addicted girls of the type that marched in Ferguson, of the idiots who laid down in Grand Central Station, the idiots who blocked the tunnels, the girls who were raised on Adderall, the lunatics raised on Ritalin and then Adderall, in liberal households. Right away, they're worried about the other side, never worried about the true victims here, which is society itself. So I raise the question, what would you do to prevent the Muslim terrorist attack in America? What steps would you take? Why does the media hide the Islamic threat? I mean, these are pretty obvious questions. They're no-brainers. So let's start with some of the great callers. WABC in New York, Michael, go ahead, please.
Michael, how are you? Listen, what they're doing is they're covering up. They keep on saying the gunman, because they're not blaming the Muslim. They're blaming the gun.
All right, thank you. That's already, I said it 80 times already, but thanks for reinforcing what. Let's try to get callers who don't repeat what they just heard like dummies from me. We need someone who actually thought about it and has a new idea. We don't want them giving my rhetoric back to me on a call. It is a call-in show. We don't need editorials repeating what I just said. It's a waste of the listeners' brains. Let's try WJR in Detroit. Roy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
My idea was is, you know, racial profiling does work, and there's a way that law enforcement can do it without being accused of it.
Yes, and religious profiling works in the case of terrorism. Let's not mince words.
No, what I'm, yes, right. So I always remember the person in charge of the Al-Al Airport, they racial profile. That's why they don't really have any problems. He was on a news program that said it.
Well, not only do the security guards or security personnel of Al-Al profile people religiously and racially, they profile you in 100 different other ways. I remember going there in 1979. I had two young children, one of whom was an infant in diapers I was visiting. They took my two-year-old daughter in the back and opened her diaper because at the time I had long hair and a beard. I looked like Charles Manson. They thought I was a terrorist. And I'm a white guy from New York. They weren't afraid to take my daughter's diaper out and look inside of it. I didn't object. I thought it was stupid because I had no such desires. But I didn't object to it. I wanted to be on the safest airline in the world.
Right. Instead of here where there's strip searching a blue-haired grandma.
That's right. They're strip searching nuns, 90-year-old Catholic nuns. I get it. And they're giving Muslims a speed pass through security. We know what's going on in this sick nation of ours. We're suffering an autoimmune disease of survival here. We're suffering a sickness that is only expressed by saying at a time like this, we have the chief of autoimmunity running the country, which is Barack Obama, bending over backwards for everything we rejected at the polls. Thanks for the call. WABC, Anagnos, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, President Barack Obama recently said we should send troops to West Africa, make sure we stop the Ebola crisis at its source, regardless of the risks, humanitarian gesture. What is the difference between stopping the ISIS human virus, which he does nothing about?
Well, he hasn't sent troops. He has sent some troops. We're sending airstrikes, which are having very limited effects because apparently they have so much territory they can now enslave women, Christian women, and Azidi women with impunity and rape the children with impunity. And not one word from the perverts in the United Nations. When have you last seen those useless idiots on the UN saying one word about child rape by the Muslims in Mosul? When have you heard them do that? I would convert the UN. I would convert UN headquarters to a homeless shelter. I'd throw all the diplomats out. I'd convert it to a homeless shelter tomorrow if I had the power. I'd throw those wonderful diplomats back where they came from. They're doing nothing. All they do is feather their own nests.
He said we should do everything possible to stop the Ebola crisis.
I know. That's why he sent 5,000 troops there and put them at risk of getting Ebola. I get it. He's perhaps the craziest man in history.
So why does he let ISIS work and operate without doing anything?
I don't know. People ask the same question. Why is he not coming down harder on ISIS? I don't know. Maybe I can't speculate. I don't know. I have no answer to that question. It's a good question, but I have no answer. WFNC, Jeffrey, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Is Jeffrey gone? Thanks, Jeffrey. Colorado, Steve, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Doctor, I just wanted to say that when did we become a nation that we have to apologize for every criminal act, every thing of terrorism? It seems like we're in an apologetic mode because the commander-in-chief does this. It's trickling down.
No, he didn't start this. He is the end line of liberalism, the mental disorder. He was elected because of the mental disorder called liberalism. They put one of their own at the top. The fact of the matter is, in 2005, I published a book, which is the greatest title I've ever composed, which is called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. It's the only thing that explains this type of behavior that you're asking about.
And I worked with a guy that was from Africa, from Uganda, a very good man, and he told me this. He said, a Christian, a Jew, a Bushman, we could all sit down, have coffee, laugh, agree, disagree, but you Americans don't understand. The Muslim will kill you if you disagree with him. And he laughed about it. You know, that's where we're at.
Oh, that's a horribly racist thing that you just said, Steve. That's so racist. Because that's overgeneralizing. That's really slamming a whole religion of peace in one sentence. And what does this ignoramus from Uganda really know, Steve? We have to trust the president on issues to do with Islam. He says there's no Islam question, there's no Islam problem. Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim who slaughtered 13 American soldiers, including a pregnant woman, and injured 30. Remember the Fort Hood massacre? Do you know how long this army of ours called it workplace violence? Do you remember how long that went on?
Several minutes. Sickening.
How come he hasn't been executed yet? Why has Muslim Major Nidal Hassan not yet been executed for cold-blooded murder? Explain that to me.
There is no explanation. It's because we have to be peaceful, and they think if they give these people an olive branch, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to put a bullet in our head. That's what's going to happen.
I don't disagree with you, frankly. I don't disagree with you. To me, I see it in like 1939, and they're operating in this country almost with impunity. Now, there are some agencies that know who they are, some of them. There are agencies like the FBI who have whole divisions within the FBI who do these kinds of things. I'm not so sure we are as defenseless as it may appear in the media. I suspect that even the president recognizes the threat, both to himself and his family, from these Muslim terrorists who are circulating in our own society. I don't think that they're quite as PC behind closed doors as Dianne Feinstein may sound in front of closed doors. And by the way, bring up the torture again. How does Dianne Feinstein's statement about waterboarding fit in today when you read about child rape by ISIS in Iraq? Exactly. If you caught somebody who could tell you where 10 little girls were being raped by these Muslim fanatics in Mosul, and they wouldn't give the information up, I'd ask Dianne Feinstein if she'd be willing to waterboard that Muslim to give up the information so those girls could be rescued. I doubt very much that she'd say no, it's not civilized behavior. Thank you for the call. This is a very emotional topic for me for one reason. We're losing the war. We're losing the war of ideas, and at the same time this is going on, Obama is flooding the country with 100,000 Muslims a month, so far as I understand. In this omnibus amnesty bill that the drunk Boehner passed, that sellout two-faced man-tan SOB, in that bill there are special clauses for special types of immigrants. And they are specifying that at least 100,000 Muslims a month will be permitted into this country. Now, I want to ask you, in an age of terror, does that make sense? Do you actually believe a government that can't deliver mail on time can vet or interview the 100,000 Muslims? First of all, they wouldn't do it because they would say they're singling them out. Why don't they also single out nuns from Ireland who want to come here? Do you understand how sick this is? I know this sounds harsh to people who've been brainwashed and raised on drugs from the time they're children. I know if you're a young person listening to Michael Savage, this is shocking to listen to. This is more shocking than Muslims who rape children. You're probably more angry with me than you are with the realities of these terrorists in Mosul raping young girls. In fact, you're more offended by me than you are by the Muslims in Mosul raping young girls. That, my friend, is not a product of my rhetoric. It's a product of your mental illness. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
We're talking about the Islamist attack in Australia and the media cover-up, calling it gunmen and hostage, no mention of Muslim or Islam. And we're tying it to an article that came out on CNN over the weekend where the Islamic State in Iraq, Mosul, is using the Quran to justify raping little girls that they capture and enslave. Pregnant women are enslaved and raped. Little girls are enslaved and raped, and we're talking about that. Now, in the midst of all of this, we have the brain-damaged John McCain taking Obama's side and Dianne Feinstein's side, attacking the CIA. Listen to these clips. Your hairs are going to stand up.
Frankly, I also had some mixed emotions about it. But the reason why I think came down and said that we should is because that's what America is all about. We do things wrong. We make mistakes.
Get out of here.
We do those, and we vow.
What kind of world are you living in, you dummy? You.
What we need to do.
Stop it. That's what America is all about. We do things wrong. We make mistakes. Where does he come up with this childish Hallmark card about what America is? Where is this garbage coming from? It's the same crap I heard from John Kerry, the same garbage from Obama, the same script that was written for all of them. This dummy is reading. Listen to number 9.
What we need to do is come clean, we move forward, and we vow never to do it again. That's what we did after Abu
Ghraib, up.
And that's what we've
shut
done
up.
After other
Go
times.
Go sell in Budweiser in, on the moon. Nation. Turn them off the show. A disgrace from top to bottom. A disgrace to the McCain family name. He had a wonderful grandfather, an admiral. He had a wonderful father. He's the black sheep of the family. Last in his class at Annapolis, set off the Zuni missile, which almost sank an aircraft carrier, and now he's almost sinking America every day of his life. Always pressing the wrong button. Unbelievable to me what I have to put up with in this show. Here are the headlines I was going to talk about till this happened in Australia. I collected these over the weekend for your listening enjoyment. McCain says CIA torture went against everything America stands for. Really tell us that when you read about the child rape in Mosul, you idiot. Combative Uber executive gets a nasty legal tangle with landlord. This was an interesting one. Short people live longer. Height and body size and longevity. Is smaller better for the human body? And I was going to actually go into the studies which show, yes, that smaller people live longer. And I was going to talk about the height article and longevity. And there is a longevity advantage for shorter people. And the reasons are fewer cell replications, which allow a reserve of cells for use during old age. In other words, if all of your cells replicated when you were young and you became tall, you have no extra cells left over for use during old age. 2, insulin and other growth factors are lower, and low levels are related to greater longevity. This is in smaller people. A smaller left ventricular mass of the heart is related to reduced heart failure and all causes of mortality. Lower levels of C-reactive protein, homocysteine, and glucose reduce mortality. Short people have lower blood pressure, lower damage to DNA, lower free radical generation with reduced cell damage, and a higher sex hormone binding globulin, because low levels have a variety of harmful effects. So this does not mean that all short people live longer or all tall people live shorter lives. The fact is, though, statistically, short people live longer. And I was going to do a show on this, but then the news of terrorism came out. And I was going to ask you to call in a story about a short person in your family, and you know you'd hear one. I have a 5'2" grandfather from Sicily who's 103, and he drinks a gallon of red wine every day and smokes cigars. Stuff like that would have been fun. Here's another one. Humans may first have learned to harness fire in Israel 350,000 years ago. I know that the Muslims don't want to hear that. The left in America doesn't want to hear that. But humans may first have learned to harness fire in Israel 350,000 years ago. I know that doesn't fit the Africa theory. It doesn't fit the theory that comes out of the universities today. But a new study, newly published study by researchers, which examined flints from the Tabun Cave, showed that humans mastered the use of fire much earlier in Israel than anywhere else on Earth. Here's another one. A Tea Party mom was arrested by vicious cops on Long Island. Suffolk County Bulls threw her in jail for 3 days for taking pictures of an Air National Guard base in the Hamptons. She won $1.2 million because the pig cop said to her, "You're a teabagger, aren't you? Remember I told you not all cops are conservatives and you argued with me? Wake up and smell the teabags."
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday.
Breaking news, it's not the Muslim terror attack that is the breaking news. The breaking news is the cover-up by your media personalities. The word Islam, verboten. The word Muslim, verboten. Instead, they use acronyms such as gunman or such other phrases as Islamic State or ISIS. They don't even say Islamic State to avoid saying the word Islam. They call it ISIS to expunge the word Islam. So in Australia, it's hostage, it's gunman, no mention of Muslim, no mention of Islam, no mention of the fact that this is not a lone wolf attack. What do you mean lone wolf attack? What does that actually mean, lone wolf attack? All the attacks we've had recently in America, we were told by the idiots in the government media complex, go about your business, nothing to worry about, it's a lone wolf attack. The Muslim in New York 2 weeks ago went in with a knife into a synagogue screaming, "Kill the Jews," stabbed a young Jewish boy in the face. Lone wolf attack. Keep moving on. Nothing to worry about. Everywhere you turn, nothing to worry about. Keep moving on. Leave it to the authorities. Leave it to those who can't deliver the mail on time to protect you from the next one. And then we talked about one of the most disturbing reports I've ever read in my life, and I didn't know how to deal with it over the weekend, where the Islamic State in Mosul, Iraq, is using the Quran to justify slave girls and justifying raping young girls. I could not understand how the world is not enraged by this. I couldn't understand why the UN doesn't say a word about this. I couldn't understand why our president, who feigns being a humanitarian, says nothing about child rape. There were so many things about it that disturbed me, especially in light of Feinstein's attack on the CIA. I'll ask you a Hobson's Choice question. What if one of these Muslim fanatics was captured in Mosul and could tell us where little children were being raped in rape houses by these throwbacks who come from around the world, these losers who enlist in order to rape girls and to terrorize populations? And he knew where these little girls were being raped repeatedly by these vermin. And you have the option to waterboard them, make them sleep on a cold floor for 24 hours, or what, talk to him and nicely and play checkers with him? Would you not use waterboarding to get the information where those little girls are being raped? I would. Why wouldn't you? So the questions to you are, what steps would you take to prevent a terrorist attack in America? And this is almost a redundant question. It's rhetorical, really. Why does the media hide the Islamic threat? I mean, you don't even have to answer it. You know the answer to that. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We're talking about terrorism. We're talking about Australia. We're talking about Feinstein. We're talking about McCain. We're talking about the danger we are in because of liberalism, the mental disorder. The first call of this hour is from KBOI. Stacy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I just noticed first of all, from the inception of this story, which I've been following since about 2 this morning, every reporter on NPR, whatever news outlet, has mentioned the threat of Islam. They've mentioned
they haven't mentioned the threat of Islam. I played all the sound bites where they don't even say Islam.
Well, that's funny because I've been listening to this, like I said, since 2 this morning, and not only have they mentioned...
So what, you're afraid now that that's a backlash? Now you're worried about we may offend terrorist feelings?
No, actually my concern is you're with them calling this man a gunman because Christians obviously commit atrocities all over the world since the beginning.
Really? Now, hold on. You're making a statement. Tell us where Christians are committing atrocities.
Literally all over the world. Right here in the United States, the Westboro Baptist Church, protesting deaths of small children and soldiers.
So that's the equivalent of raping girls, you psycho, you?
They have nothing to do with...
You're a twisted sister. You're mentally ill, Stacy. If you're comparing the sickos at the Baptist Church, who don't even exist anymore, the guy was arrested, with the categorical rape of young slave girls, how could you make a comparison like that? What is wrong with you? Tell me. Are you a college girl? Is that your problem? Hung up. The Adderall wore off. She used up all of the Adderall for that phone call. They let her out. They led her to the payphone in the bug house for 10 minutes. They gave her one token in the rehab center so she could make a call. Oh, man. They can't support their statements. You know that. It's very sad. WJR in Detroit. Jeremy, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. One of the things that disturbs me the most about this treatment of young women and children is that Muhammad himself took a wife at about 7 years old. And the reason I think that there's no speech about this is the absolute holy head of that religion was guilty of the same kind of pedophilia. And
I can't speak to that. I didn't live at the time. However, I will tell you that according to the CNN report, the color pamphlet being given out by the ISIS murderers and rapists and slaveholders in color quotes the Quran and quotes Sharia law to justify raping little girls. So that much we do know for sure.
Sure. And what's really upsetting is, like you've said, they won't go back to the writings of the religion itself, of the mosques themselves. It's almost like you can't use the facts to find the truth. You've got to...
Look, there's a let's clear the air here. There's been a clash of civilizations going on for quite a long while. Christianity went through a terrorist phase in the Middle Ages, as you well know. Christianity then went through a reformation, as every educated Christian knows. Islam has never gone through a reformation, and that is what is required for this world to be at peace and for the world to survive. We all know that. Except there is no movement within the Islamic religion that I know of towards any kind of reformation. I do not know of any such movement.
You make, obviously, of course, an excellent point that...
How many people who just heard that even know what I just said? How many people who heard what I just said even understand what I just said?
People don't...
They don't understand it. They don't even know what the Reformation means. They have no idea what that means. WPRV, I think that is in for sure. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're in Providence, of course.
Yes, I think it's worthwhile asking a question. What would Lincoln do with respect to this Islamic problem? And I think for sure he would use their language and their logic against them, because in this day and age, there's no way that it should be tenable that you should say, if you don't believe in Allah, you're dead, the way they oppress women. So I think we should just, that should be all over the news, et cetera, their language and their tenets.
The child rape by the Muslim fanatics in Mosul should be worldwide news. It should once and for all make people understand who ISIS is. And as a result of this embarrassment, perhaps the front groups here in America, the equivalent of the Gestapo, the equivalent of the Bund that was operating in America in the 1930s, the German-American Bund. There's a Muslim-American Bund that operates here under many different front groups. They have very fancy names. But their fundamental goal here is to pacify and to subdue the Americans who will react to these terrorists. And we do not have a counterforce in this country, so far as I know. I mean, that's a complete sentence. It takes the air out of the conversation. Pete, on WABC in New York, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Pete's gone. Okay, gone. I hate that. This gets me very angry on a national show. If I take a caller and he's not there, that's amateur radio. I hate it. WABC, Cronin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael,
I have never been so sick in my life. I'm physically sick listening to your station today, listening to you, what you're saying. It is absolutely disgusting, subhuman, horrible what these people are doing, and people are not even upset, seem to be upset.
No, they're not upset. They're marching with the Muslims now to show that there's no backlash.
People, and then we give a little enhanced interrogation on these monsters that killed thousands of people, and people are up in arms. Oh, that was terrible.
Monsters that rape little girls. Let's not leave that out of this. They are capturing Christians and Azidi women, and they are justifying the rape and enslavement of non-Muslim women. You know, this is what the Nazis did. If the Nazis invaded a town, they would kill all those who were not Nazis, of course, that we know. But every time Muslims do a takeover, they separate Muslims from non-Muslims, and they kill the non-Muslims. What does that tell us about the religion? What does that tell us about the mindset? What does that tell us about the danger we're in? What does that tell us about the psychosis called liberalism? On that note, it opens up one line at 855-400-7282. Now, hold on a minute. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that I have an entire chapter on the Islamization of America under Obama and what we must do to save ourselves in Stop the Coming Civil War. You know, it's only the 15th of December. Many of you have said, okay, I'm going to buy myself a Christmas gift or get someone a gift. I can't think of a better gift than my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Will it make me richer? No. Will I buy a new car as a result? No. Will I buy a new house as a result? No. What might you buying that book do? It might awaken one person. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
History will judge us by our commitment to a just society governed by law and the willingness to face an ugly truth and say never again.
The Haradin last week, Feinstein, whose name has now become a noun equal to Quisling, had the nerve to attack the CIA for preventing terrorist attacks. And I would ask Dianne Feinstein today if you knew, if you could find out, rather, where little girls in Mosul are being raped in a rape house by the Islamists in ISIS, and you had the choice of having him waterboarded, the terrorist you caught, or not waterboarding him, what would you, Dianne, what would you do? Would you choose to let the girls be raped because of your false sense of pride and your false sense of honor for America? That's nonsense. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't blame you because the media has covered this up. But CNN produced it over the weekend, and it got me sick. The Islamic State, so-called, has made clear its justification for the rape and enslavement of non-Muslim women and children with a color-printed pamphlet, Question and Answers on Female Slaves and Their Freedom. It is being distributed in Mosul, Iraq. Armed vermin handed out the pamphlet in the Islamist-occupied Iraqi city on Friday after sunset Muslim prayers. And here is what the booklet says. Pay attention, all of you self-righteous feminists. If she was a virgin, he, the Islam owner, can have intercourse with her immediately after the ownership is fulfilled. CNN reported. Now, I guess you could blame CNN, the right-wing outlet. If the captured woman was not a virgin, her uterus must be purified before you can rape her. The guide lays out other rules as well. For example, two vermin in dirty nightshirts who co-own a slave can't both have sex with her, and a Muslim man can't have sex with his wife's slave. You see how advanced the religion is? Do you see how tolerant the religion is and how respectful it is of women? Apparently, you can't have sex with your wife's slave because that would offend your wife. It just shows you how important Muslim women are, how they're treated with such dignity. You don't want to insult a Muslim wife by having sex with her slave. It shows it's a very sensitive religion. Now, regarding raping children that they capture, here is what the brochure says. Quote, it is permissible to have intercourse with the female slave who hasn't reached puberty, if she is fit for intercourse, the Islamic State rules said, quote, however, if she is not fit for intercourse, he, the Muslim throwback, can only enjoy her without intercourse. And I'll let your mind figure that one out. You see how sensitive they are and what an advanced religion it is? And you say, well, come on, this is not about the religion. This is only these terrorists over in Mosul. And we know they're bad. Really? Well, according to CNN, the group cites the Quran and Sharia law for these rules. And these are the most detailed justification for enslaving non-believers, as identified by these throwbacks in the Islamic State. So they can buy and sell and give away female slaves, and the slaves are all Christians and Azidi women and other minorities. Did you hear this? A slave who runs away from their master is identified as committing one of the gravest of sins. But I want to show you how sensitive Islam is to slavery, and you should understand what a sensitive, peaceful religion it is. The booklet says this: a captive mother cannot be separated from her young children, and a pregnant slave cannot be sold according to the guidelines. Beating a female slave for discipline is allowed, but beating her for pleasure as a form of torture is not. So you see, I mean, Dianne Feinstein would find this very acceptable. In other words, you could beat her for discipline, but you can't beat her for pleasure. So Dianne Feinstein would probably say, well, they're following the Geneva Convention. The pamphlet is the most detailed justification for slaving non-believers as identified by the Islamic State. And the group continues to cite the Quran and Sharia law for the rules. So I woke up after I read this. I couldn't sleep all night. I saw that I tried to go to sleep, and all I could imagine were little girls being raped by filthy, dirty men from around the world in dirty nightshirts. The lowest of the low in every society. The holy rollers that put on the robes and make believe they're clean. The garbage of society, the dregs who can't do anything else. The dregs are attracted to this. You know why? Because they get to rape young girls, and then they get to justify with a holy book. All I heard were the screams of the children. All I felt was the fear of the young girls and the women in these sex houses. And I almost couldn't take it. At a certain point, I thought I would go insane from the pain. You know, some people I know rescue dogs. And I knew someone who used to rescue dogs who almost went insane because you just couldn't rescue all the dogs that were going to be euthanized. And I think she gave it up. She couldn't take another day of it. Everywhere she went, she heard dogs crying for their lives. And millions of you do such things. You save animals. You save dogs and cats from euthanasia. You give them away. You rescue them, which is a good emotion. And yet we do nothing for little girls who are being raped just as I speak. The useless people in the United Nations, when have they had a session on this? About the rape of young girls and the enslavement of non-Muslims. When has there last been a session in the UN about that? Huh? When has Obama given a speech about this kind of behavior as abhorrent? When has McCain talked about this behavior, or Feinstein? You see, everything is relative, people. Everything is relative. And if you take things out of context, you could say, well, waterboarding is torture. But if you put it in context, you realize it's probably the most gentle thing you could do to people like this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Do you know how many wars are going on in the world today? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. In the midst of the political, military, and economic chaos brought about by the lack of U.S. leadership in the Middle East, Obama told the United Nations General Assembly last year that the world is more stable today than it was 5 years ago. But do you know how many wars are going on in the world today? More than 60. And there are more than 500 different armies and militias and separatist groups that are conducting these armed engagements. And that's Obama's idea of stable. Now, pick up about any country, pick just about any country, rather, in the Middle East, and you'll see that America has looked the other way or outright supported the rise of Islamic fundamentalism and the increase in terrorist activity that goes hand in hand with it. Sunni rebels staged terror attacks because the Obama administration couldn't be bothered to develop a status of forces agreement with the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki that would have kept U.S. troops in Iraq. Baghdad is the scene of terrorist attacks and bombings almost every day. More than 8,000 Iraqis were killed in 2013 alone, as the level of insurgency grows, supported by Iran, has skyrocketed. Young girls and non-Muslim women are being captured, turned into slaves, and raped. Obama says nothing. in the early summer of 2014, the terrorist group ISIS. And I can go on and on. And I'm reading from pages 231 and 232, The War on Our Allies from Stop the Coming Civil War, the most important book you will read in the year 2014. And that is why I refer to my book. Now let's go to the callers. Isaac on WABC. What's on your mind, Isaac?
Your point is very well taken, that anybody with half a functioning brain cell could see beyond the shadow of a doubt what a cesspool this country has become, what a morally and intellectually corrupt creep someone like Feinstein is. And just after the five Jews were slaughtered in cold blood in Har-Nof, in Israel, CNN comes out the next morning with a headline, Israeli police shoot and kill two Palestinian men. And the world we live in is sick. The people who run the country is sick. The media is ill to a point where it's nauseating. And my question is how? How is it possible? How has this country spiraled into such a muck of abject depravity and oblivion?
It's a great question, Isaac. It would take a sage to answer it, not a talk show host. It would take an encyclopedia to answer that question, not a soundbite. And I think we all have our own answer of how this world has devolved to a level that a fraud like Barack Hussein Obama, who was a nonentity before he was senator, a nobody, of no background, no origins, no one even knows who he is really, no accomplishments whatsoever, how this man could be an abject ruler for six straight years. You talk about depravity? Explain that one to me. But then it gets worse, Isaac. There was an election 5 weeks ago, remember it? And the election said, this bum has to be thrown out. This fraud is over. This radical left-wing president is wrong. He's on the wrong track for America. Did the media make believe there was no election from the day after that election until now, Isaac? When have you last heard about the mandate to stop Obama's fanaticism? You haven't heard it anywhere. The very same corrupt media that pretends that they're objective says nothing about the election in their own country, Isaac. So I don't have an answer for you. There's no single answer of how the world became so depraved. You can pick your beast if you wish. Everyone has one to blame. Everyone has someone to blame for the depravity. But, you know, on Friday I did a show on pornography. Do you remember that?
I didn't get a chance to hear that one.
I did a show on Friday. Wait a minute. This is so important. I did a show on Friday of how has pornography affected you. And it was based on an article, Pornography Use Affects Real Relationships. Well, it was one of the most popular shows that I've done in 20 years. People were calling from around the country for three straight hours about what's happening to people in this country as a result of the devastation of their soul from the rampant dissemination of pornography by this government. In other words, you say, well, what does this government have to do with it? You know, there was a time pornography was illegal in America, and for good reason. The reason pornography was made illegal is because they knew it would destroy the souls of men. They knew that pornography would destroy marriages. They knew that pornography would screw children's brains up forever. They knew that pornography would rewire the minds of children and make them incapable of ever having a normal, loving human relationship. What does it have to do with Obama? Well, the person who put this study out saying that this is a public health crisis said that it's urgent that the government and society address pornography. And he said during Mr. Holder's 6 years in office, that's our attorney general, so-called, he refused to initiate even one new obscenity indictment during his tenure. And then he said, as a result, Attorney General Holder bears much responsibility for pornography's pandemic of harm. Now, why am I talking about pornography today? Because your question was, Isaac, how did the world become so depraved? I would argue that the rampant spread of pornography may not be the sole cause of this depravity, but I would say it's a large part of the depravity. And I would also say that if pornography were made illegal again, I would say that the depravity that is portrayed in these pornographic images would go a long way towards pulling back some of the depraved behavior in other spheres.
Yeah, I hear that. That definitely makes a lot of sense. Interesting point.
And by the way, do you know which country is the biggest user of pornography in the world?
I do not.
Pakistan.
Yes.
The Muslim country of Pakistan, as I understand it, is the biggest user of porno in the world.
But of course their women are treated with the utmost of dignity and respect.
Yeah, like Chattel. They're treated like Chattel, not like women. But Isaac, when you heard about the enslavement of non-Muslim women today and of raping of girls justified by the Quran and by Sharia law, what was your gut reaction to that?
my gut turned, and I felt that any suspect should their skin should be raked off with combs, hot metal combs, if it means we'll get 1 ounce. 1% of the 100% of useful information gets squeezed out of these vermin.
But why then do people like McCain and Ted Cruz now? Did you know Ted Cruz joined Feinstein to say that waterboarding was torture and they were right to release the CIA report? Could you believe this?
It's sick, and that's why I called you to discuss it, because it's just so sick.
Yeah, well, Ted Cruz is finished. I said it on Friday. I said he's finished. As far as Savage is concerned, his view on the use of enhanced interrogation techniques makes Ted Cruz unelectable. And on Friday, I said the other day, Ted Cruz finished his career. That was my opinion. It's over. You ought to look for a job as a lobbyist. Because Cruz came out and said definitively that the United States doesn't support torture, that we're so-called better than that. In other words, he's reading the same script as Obama and Feinstein. It's going to only feed the hatred against our men and women on the front lines. He is pandering to the left. Isaac, thank you for listening so carefully to the Savage Nation. If you like to talk about these topics, the phone number here is 855-400-7282. I mean, I would say it's all related to this. You know, the Australians used to be able to carry weapons, or they were able to own guns, until, I don't know how many years ago, the Liberal Socialist regime came along and seized all the guns in Australia. Now, right now, they have a prime minister. Is he speaking still, Robert? Is he finished with his garbage? I'll put him on. Let's hear what he's saying now. Let's see if he says anything real. He usually say nothing. Let's hear it. Let's listen.
I responded to this brush with terrorism. There is nothing more Australian than dropping in at the local cafe for a morning coffee, and it's tragic beyond words that people going about their everyday business should have been caught up in such a horrific incident. Our hearts go out to all of those caught up in this appalling incident.
All right, I've heard it enough already. It sounds like Mel Gibson on Laughing Gas. Why do they say nothing? Why do so-called leaders say nothing when we really need them to say something? Tell me. What would Winston Churchill have said on a day like today? Something, say something that feeds the people's rage and fears and want for security. Say something to say to them, I am a leader and I'm looking out for you. Say something. Ah, okay, go back to Mel on Laughing Gas.
Violence. But they also remind us that Australia and Australians are resilient.
Oh,
and we
please,
are ready
turn
to
this off. Come on. The same garbage you'd hear from Obama. We're not resilient. We're a bunch of cowards hiding under our covers. What resilient? Running home and taking Valium and Prozac. That's what they're doing in Australia. Did you see the story about the selfies that these chicken pluckers were taking outside the event? Oh, my God. Resilient, my behind. Look at those pictures. In the midst of this kidnapping there, or hostage there going on in Australia, the people were outside taking selfies outside the cafe, smiling. That's the resilience of Australia. Holy God, what a death, what a civilization falling apart. The whole West is dead. You know, maybe that's the answer to Isaac's question. Maybe it's narcissism. Maybe that's the answer to the problem. Maybe narcissism killed the West. Maybe Spengler was wrong when he said the death of the West would come as a result of some other forces. Maybe he didn't know that the death of the West would come from the selfie. All right, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. An oh my God moment. Obama, the troop-hating president, was in front of troops today in New Jersey, and he told the troops that they're like Santa in fatigues, and there was dead silence in the audience. Listen to this right now on the Savage Nation.
We're free and safe and secure over here because you're willing to serve over there. That's the noble spirit of your sacrifice. That's the selfless character of our military. Those are the precious gifts that you give America, not just this time of year, but all year, every year. You never stop serving. You never stop giving. You guys are like Santa in fatigues. Although, I'll bet one of those C-130s is a little more efficient than Santa's sleigh.
Can you believe this man is the president of the United States of America? But even the troops have caught on to him. They know what he's doing to the military. They know that he wants to turn the Army into a government jobs program for the protected classes. They know what he's doing. They know how he has purged the military, is purging the military, and how he's forcing people into the military who could never qualify otherwise. They know that he is decimating the military on a daily basis. So even the troops today have turned on him. Question is, what steps did you take to prevent a terrorist attack in America? What does the media hide? Why does the media hide the Islamic threat? I mean, I don't even need to answer them anymore. You got the answers. At a joint base McGuire-Dix-Lakehurst in New Jersey, during an address to the troops, President Barack Hussein Obama made a joke that they are like Santa in fatigues, which was received with absolute dead silence, prompting the imposter to nervously name-drop the military aircraft C-130 to get a response out of them. Listen to this again.
We're free and safe and secure over here because you're willing to serve over there. That's the noble spirit of your sacrifice. That's the selfless character of our military. Those are the precious gifts that you give America, not just this time of year, but all year, every year. You never stop serving. You never stop giving. You guys are like Santa in fatigues. Although, I'll bet one of those C-130s is a little more efficient than...
The troops didn't find him funny. He insulted them. Santa in fatigues. That's a joke he probably heard from the psychos who work around them in the White House. In the so-called Oval Office. That's a joke. Oh, them? They're like Santas in fatigues. That's what they think of them. That's all. Empty praises to them after doing everything he can do to screw the military over and over and over again. That's who he is. Does anyone even know what fatigues are? I don't even think they use the word fatigues in the military anymore. They're just a joke to him. They're a joke to the thin man in the White House. Now, he was just basically voted out of office. If we had a participatory democracy along the lines of a parliamentary system, he'd be going at the end of December. And all of his policies would be reversed. We wouldn't be flooded with 30 million illegal aliens. Our schools would not be decimated by the illegal aliens. Our hospitals would not be overrun by the illegal aliens. Our precious social services would not be decimated by the illegal aliens. That's what that vote was just about. America went to the polls. They didn't fight. They didn't kill, they didn't burn, they didn't shoot, they didn't cause a revolution. The American people did it the right way. We said no to this man's psychotic left-wing social policies. And guess what happened? He got worse. He doubled down. And he said, just to prove to you how much I respect democracy, I'm going to do the opposite of what you people voted for. The next thing we knew, we had burning and shooting and looting in the country, egged on by the White House. You say, well, come on, aren't you just jumping to conclusions, Michael Savage? No, he met with the leaders of the Ferguson rioting squads the day after the election. He had these street thugs in the White House. What do you think of a president who has a man as low as Al Sharpton in and out of the White House 80 times during his tenure? A man as low as Al Sharpton in the White House is the equivalent of if a right-wing president had won in 2008 and had, in my opinion, the head of the Ku Klux Klan in and out of the White House 80 times. That's right. An extremist like Al Sharpton is the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan on the left-wing side to many Americans who could do the analysis. And yet Obama had no shame in inviting him in. So what does it tell you about? It tells you more about Obama than it does about Al Sharpton. It tells you Obama and Al Sharpton are basically one and the same. It tells you the government is run by a troika and the country is a wreck as a result of it. But we can still go about our business. We don't need to walk around with armed guards, by and large. Most of us can still shop. Our money is still good. The heat still goes on. The water still goes on. The sun also rises. So things are pretty good for the average middle-class person, and so we don't complain. There's no hunger. There's no starvation. There's no global warming. Talking about that here on the West Coast, we are drowning now in rain. And the same fools who were scaring us to death about lakes and fish flopping in the dried up lakes in California, now they're telling us about flooding and mudslides. The same drug addicts with pancake makeup who were rushing to dried up lakes and now rushing to bridges where there's water on them. And this is what passes for the media today. The same media that hides the Islamic threat does everything it can to promote the big lies put forward by big government. Well, we're coming to the end of hour number two on the Savage Nation. We're talking about the terrorist attack in Australia. We're also talking about what you would do to prevent a similar attack, or worse yet, here in the country. And we've gotten very few answers, by the way. We know that the FBI is a wholly owned subsidiary of the White House. We know that there's no longer any attempts to racially profile or religiously profile the would-be terrorist, as was done many years ago. We know that we're sitting here like sitting ducks in a barrel. And we all expect to be attacked any day now, like nervous Nellies. Yep. Have a nice day. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back for another hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com, top right. Muslim terrorist hostage taker in Sydney killed. My headline. Sydney gunman ID'd as out on bail sexual predator, New York Post. People line up to pose for pictures of themselves at scene of Sydney terror, London Daily Mail. California battles whooping cough epidemic. They won't tell you that's because of the flood of illegal aliens, but that's what it's a result of. Let us see. New York City protesters pack hammers and smash cars and assault police. Of course, Obama said that they were mainly peaceful. Islamic State uses the Quran to justify child rape. Let's see. Saudis plunge oil prices to stop Iran and Russia. That's a fabulous article. That's another day to do that one. And there's lots of other stories. Here's the face of hate in San Francisco. Take a look at them. Take a look at the protests and you'll see who's really marching in the streets. Obama trying to start a new civil war? I doubt it. Do short people live longer? Yes. Yes. The idea of bigger is better is a misconception, and shorter is better. I'm not saying that because I'm not 6'5", but the statistics hold that up. Short people live longer, and there's a reason for it biologically. It's somewhat of an adaptation. I knew it was true in dogs, that little dogs tend to outlive big dogs. I had a friend who had an Irish wolfhound. He lived to 5 or 6. I mean, the dog was gorgeous, Fionn. I love this dog. I got a little shrimp, a little teddy. 11 pounds, I never saw anything like this. He can jump 3 feet in the air for a greenie. 10 years of age, he leaps in the air like springs in his feet. And I hear other people that had dogs that live 18 years, 19. I never heard of such years like that. When I was a kid, we had a dog that died of a heart attack at 7 from eating table food. I'm eating a diet that killed my father. My dog died at 7. I don't know how I survived. I missed that bullet. I mean, I was raised on the same food that the dog of my father was raised on, and I'm still here. Go figure that one out. It must be all the vitamins and everything else I've been doing. But nevertheless, little dogs do live longer, as we know. In general now, don't give me the examples that, you know, that prove or disprove, whatever. But it's the same with people. We don't know that. So there are women who like shorter men, and there's a reason, because they know the shorter men live longer, and they're probably adaptively stronger. It's an interesting, I don't mean all their lives, obviously. You can, of course, a big guy can beat up a little guy when he's in the prime of life. But after the big guy's dead, he can't beat anyone up. Josh on WFNC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. I wanted to, most of the time I agree with you on everything you say, but what I disagree with is the fact that we seem to be, as in the conservative side or in the side of thinking that I'm on, is that we generally tend to group people together, be it as ISIS is doing these heinous things in the Middle East, and we tend to group all Muslims within that same demographic, so to speak.
I think that you have a valid point, but it's not what I was doing. I was telling you that the questions and answers on female slaves and how to treat them being distributed in Mosul by Islamists right now These are based upon the Quran and upon Sharia law. Don't you think that that's something the people should know about? Don't you think the average person thinks that Sharia law is something healthy and good, and they should be aware of the fact that there is vile in that as well, that Sharia law contains such rules about enslaving women?
I do agree with that. Now, this is what I will say about that. I agree with the fact that...
The pamphlet is the most detailed justification for enslaving non-believers, as identified by the Islamic State, and the group continues to cite the Quran and Sharia law for the rules. So what are we supposed to do, sit here and make believe they made it up out of thin air?
Well, that's, Michael, that's like saying that in the Bible it says that you should stone people. I mean, if someone was to come out and say that that was a justification to stone people, would you be against Christianity at that point?
Yeah, but you're making my point, because I've said for years that the Old Testament contains statements in Leviticus in particular that no practicing Jew believes in or practices. And yet, when it comes to Islam, there are many Muslims who believe in and practice these antiquated sutras.
But there are ones that don't as well. And I'm saying that we group...
Yeah, I know, but we're a little worried about those who do. We're not worried about the 99.9% wonderful friends. We're kind of concerned about the 0.1% who may destroy us.
I agree with that.
In other words, if you don't know who your enemy is, how are you going to identify him and fight him? Tell me.
Because
if you always cage the enemy in some rose-colored glasses and you can't even identify the enemy, and you automatically have a knee-jerk liberal reaction of, I shouldn't say this about him because he's probably a nice guy, which is what Australia did with this piece of garbage. They knew he was involved in crime after crime, and they wouldn't put him in jail. Why? They're afraid of offending the Muslims of Australia. They're afraid of offending people like you in Australia. They're afraid of offending the liberals in Australia. They're afraid of the liberal media in Australia. So this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Michael, listen.
The guy was out of prison. He should have been in prison. He was a certifiable evil man. But the only reason he was walking the street is because everyone was afraid of him because he was a Muslim.
Michael, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that all Muslims believe in this, and I'm not saying all Muslims don't. What I'm saying is we should not be categorizing people. Like, look, okay, you said the other day, a while back, that you went and saw where Martin Luther King was killed. And Martin Luther King said in one of his famous speeches, I dream of an America that four children could be together and not be, you know, based upon the way that they're looked at, not be based upon their race, but their character.
Right. Tell that to the Islamic fanatics who are in this country. Ask them what they think about that.
The same goes with religion, Michael. You can't base a group of people on a certain amount of people that are doing it.
No, of course you can't. But amongst those people, there's an awful lot of terrorists.
And that should be dealt with.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. It was dealt with much more forcefully and more intelligently until Obama came to office. The New York Police Department, for example, was monitoring mosques on a regular basis. They had entire squads who were watching and listening in on conversations because they knew exactly what was being said in some of these mosques. And that there were terrorists who were gravitating towards these mosques. That all ended when Mayor De Blasio took power.
Okay.
So how are you going to monitor people if you're so afraid that you're liable to be called a racist is the issue?
I'm not. Look, Michael, you're missing. I think we're not getting each other's points here. This is what I'm not. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put a for lack of a better term, a bullseye on the people that are doing it, that are doing these fascist things, that are doing these completely heinous things. What I'm saying is that, again, people that are normal people that believe in a certain way are being caught in the crossfire. That's what I'm saying.
That's right, and that's the hard tightrope that police and the intelligence agencies have to walk on a daily basis. And that's the... That's the tension that the terrorists are exploiting in our own country, Josh. They're using this exact argument you are giving to make certain that they can continue their plans against this country.
I think we're going to have...
Well, listen to what I'm saying to you. Our own FBI told us last week, expect a terrorist attack. The latest poll says a large majority of Americans expect to be attacked by an Islamic terrorist in this country. So what is that telling you?
That's telling me that
Let me put it to you this way. Certainly what you say makes logical sense, but it does not necessarily make a sense from the point of view of survival. Let me put it another way. A Muslim religious leader a number of years ago said, certainly not all Muslims are terrorists, but almost all terrorists are Muslim. He wrote that, not me.
Well, then why are we taking...
So how do you explain the fact that almost all the terrorism on the world, on the world stage, whether it is against Britain, America, Australia, Israel, the Philippines, India, Russia, how come it's always Muslims attacking their neighbor? Can you explain that to me?
Because that is something that they take as a far extreme from their religion.
Oh, well, that's all I'm trying to say. I don't think we're disagreeing on that. But in order for you to understand where this is coming from, it must be put in the context of the religion itself. In other words, let me put it another way. We know that the Old Testament contains statements about killing homosexuals. When have you last heard about Jews killing homosexuals?
Never.
But we see pictures, which I have on my website. I don't know. I think it was from Iran. They threw homosexuals off roofs in Iran, or ISIS did that. I had the picture up last week. That's what ISIS is doing. They're killing women. They're enslaving women, raping children, killing gays. Why shouldn't the world know that they're citing their own religious texts as justification for that?
Michael, I'm going to go back and say what you said just a second ago. I think you just proved my point. What I'm saying is that, again, you just said, if they were to go out and do that, we would be against the people that did it, not against the religion itself.
But we're not talking against the religion. We're talking about the justification for these acts and where it originates. It does not grow out of thin air. It's in their holy book.
And so is it in the book of Christianity, their Bible.
I understand, but Christians aren't enslaving and raping children.
But again, I go back to my first point.
No, don't go back. Stay right there. No, don't go back so fast. Show me where on earth there are Christian armies grabbing non-Christian women and raping children. Show me where on earth that's being done.
I can't.
Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, the last caller was probably a very nice, thoughtful guy. And he reminds me of the danger of liberalism in yet another way. Hillary Clinton gave a speech last week in which she said we should empathize with our enemies. And I took great umbrage at that. It would be like saying, wait a minute, you mean during the Hitler period we should have taken time to think about what the Nazis were thinking about their racist ideology and should empathize with it? Well, by the same token, do you want me to empathize with ISIS, who was capturing Christian and Yazidi women and enslaving them and raping children? Are you people insane? So now we come back to this, the siege in Australia. He was a self-styled Iranian sheikh. He was out on bail for his ex-wife's murder, and he was given 300 hours of a community service. Why? He sent hate mail to the families of dead Australian soldiers killed fighting in Afghanistan. Do you understand what this man was like? This man posed as a practitioner of the religion of peace. He posed as a spiritual healer in order to grope unsuspecting women. He was accused of being an accessory to murder of his ex-wife. He was born Montigi Bujordi. He left Iran for Australia in 96, and liberals welcomed him with open arms. The liberals, with their asylum policies along the lines of San Francisco and New York City, buy anyone's story except those of us who vote against liberalism. Already well known to police, Monis was on bail for more than 40 sexual offenses. His accusers said that he posted a newspaper advertisement claiming to be an expert who specialized in astrology, numerology, meditation, and black magic. But then he used his meetings with the women to sexually and indecently assault them, claiming that his groping was a key to his practice of spiritual healing. Now, this is the type of low life, this is the dreg of society, the dregs of society. This guy comes from the dregs of society. The type of people from America, Australia, France, Germany, the West, in other words, that are joining ISIS are the dregs of society. They're the outcast, the lowlives, the vermin, the useless, the ones who can't get anywhere in society. And one of the reasons they're attracted is the literature tells them that they capture women and rape them. They can even capture and rape young girls. So don't think that they're all going over there out of some higher ideal. These are sick degenerates who see an opportunity to rape little girls in rape houses around the Middle East. And this country, you never heard about this story, did you? About the rape, the horror. Remember the justification Bill Clinton and Janet Reno used for burning down the Branch Davidian compound in Texas? Do you remember that event? Many of you do. We didn't know who David Koresh was. We had no idea. We knew he was a cult leader. We knew it was like some offshoot of Christianity. But there was no reason to bring in tanks and flamethrowers until the media put out the big lie that David Koresh was raping young girls. And then everyone said, oh, well, you know, he really needs to be stopped. And the next day, Janet Sterno gave the order for the stormtroopers to go in. The FBI and the ATF executed everyone in the building with flamethrowers and tanks. Remember that? But it was the rape that was used to justify attacking the Branch Davidian compound in Texas. How come the story of the rape of young girls in Iraq does not awaken to the world as to who these people really are? Why are we asleep? Why are we more concerned with some fat slob with an overly large behind and what she does every day? Or about a slut in Hollywood and what she exposes every day? Why do we care about these stupid people? Why don't we really care about real stuff? Why don't we care about real offenses against humanity instead of imaginary offenses against humanity? I mean, these are the questions that run through my mind every day, so I'm sharing them with you. It's that simple. WMAL in Washington. Jason, let me hear your thoughts on this issue. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I heard the last caller, and first of all, let's look, 238-some-odd years, America has been a country, and look where we've come from, and look where we've gone. And then look at Islam and Muslim countries, in the thousands of years that they've been, look where they're at. And with the exception of the oil-rich nations, which we probably made, they're all like that. Even Islam itself, just as you stated to him, and I know you're saying that all people are bad in that religion, but I've been in those countries, both those countries, Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a reason why they're still in the Stone Ages and still live in mud huts and still live total religiously, because they're tribal. They don't go much further than tribal. If you're not in their tribe, they're not going to listen to what you say. They don't care. They've been that way for thousands of years. What makes...
You're right. Jason, you're an ex-Marine sniper, I understand.
Former Marine sniper, yes, sir.
Well, I guess you're always a Marine sniper, as I understand it, and you're certainly a kind of man that we all respect here on the Savage Nation, and you've been there and done that. And you understand that the Holy Book itself imprisons people in those countries, and that Christianity, the modern version of Christianity, has liberated humanity, not imprisoned it, despite what the illegitimate left says. And I will send you a copy of my tome, Stop the Coming Civil War. God bless you for your service, and thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. On that note, I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Police in Sydney stormed the cafe where a gunman had been holding employees and customers hostage for almost 17 hours.
Australian police surround a cafe in the center of Sydney where a gunman is holding staff and customers hostage.
Apparently some of the requests that this gunman has made, even though we haven't been able to confirm exactly what they are.
What a tense situation in Australia right now. The nation's biggest city under siege. Look at that police roadblock right there. The gunman just 100 yards away.
In a dramatic scene in the last few hours, at least five hostages managed to get free, apparently released by the gunman as part of negotiations with the police.
Bob Orr joins us now as well. And Bob, as we heard Clarissa mention, this gunman is known to the Australian government. But we are hearing some things, and we are hearing because some of those hostages are contacting media outlets and relaying information from the gunman.
Turn it off. I tell you the truth. If the mindset that exists in the West today had existed in 1939, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. A nation dies through lies. Remember that. A nation dies through lies. by covering up the source of this gunman's insanity, which is directly related to his religious fanaticism, you do not do yourself a favor. Hiding under the cover is not going to save you. And I want to go back to an important story that didn't make it to your local rag. The Islamic State gave out a color-printed pamphlet on Friday in Mosul, Iraq, on how to handle a female slave and how to rape young girls and how it was justified by the Quran. I am not inventing this. Go to michaelsavage.com and see the story. If she was a virgin, he, the owner of the virgin, can have intercourse with her immediately after the ownership is fulfilled. The pamphlet explains, CNN reported. If she was not a virgin when you took her captive, her uterus must be purified before you can have sex with her. The Islamic guide lays out other rules as well. For example, two low-life vermin who co-own a slave can't both have sex with her, and a man can't have sex with his wife's slave. Now, this is in the year 2014 regarding children. Are you ready for this one, all of you apologists for Islam? Quote, it is permissible to have intercourse with the female slave who hasn't reached puberty if she is fit for intercourse. But the Islamic State rules the following. If she is not fit for intercourse, he, the owner, can only enjoy her without intercourse. But the question and answer makes it clear that the captors have complete control of their captives. The Muslim pamphlet reads the following. It is permissible to buy, sell, or give as a gift female captives and slaves for the Amili property. Now, let me repeat what this is about. These throwbacks, these vermin, these 8th century pieces of garbage have captured tens of thousands of Christian girls and women and Azidi women and girls, and we're doing nothing because of the fraud in the White House, because of the faker in the White House. It goes on. If a female slave runs away from one of the Muslims, she's committing one of the gravest of sins. A captive mother cannot be separated from her young children. And a pregnant slave cannot be sold. Isn't it a compassionate religion? I mean, when you think about it, it's a compassionate religion. If you capture a young Christian woman who's pregnant, you can't sell her. This is a very civilized, advanced culture, according to the guidelines. Pay attention, all of you women who are worried about men looking at you as you walk past a construction site, you fools. Listen to this one. Beating a female slave for discipline is allowed, Gloria Allred, but beating a female slave for pleasure as a form of torture is not, CNN reported. Well, that's a very compassionate saying right there. The pamphlet is the most detailed justification for enslaving non-Muslims as identified by the Islamic State, and the group continues to cite the Quran and Sharia law for the rules. They cite the Quran and Sharia law as justification for raping children. When have you heard of a Muslim leader who has condemned ISIS recently? When has CAIR come out and attacked ISIS? When have you heard one person, the American or Western media, talk about the Islamic State using the Quran to justify child rape? Now you say, well, what does it have to do with the Muslim in Australia? Everything. Because he used the Quran to justify his attacks against these innocent people in the cafe. The news is the insanity of the West, the paralysis of the West, the liberalism of the West that is killing us and will kill all of us. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We were listening since last night, and you couldn't hear the word Muslim or Islam or terror if you tried. It was about a hostage, the hostage taker. It was about a gunman. No mention of Islam, no mention of Muslim, no mention of the Arabic saying, nothing. Nothing. It was about a gunman, a hostage. Then to make matters worse, after it's all over, and the brave Australian Special Force police, whatever they call them there, threw in the stun grenades that went in with their machine guns blasting and killed this piece of garbage and sent him to hell where he belongs, immediately, the brainwashed liberals in Australia start talking about the backlash against Muslims. And they put together a hashtag. I'll ride along with you. You're not going to believe this. Listen to clip 23 of The Insanity of Liberalism.
So it's this nice story of a woman who, hearing about these attacks, she feared anti-Muslim sentiment as a backlash. And this woman said, you know what, keep your religious attire on. We are tolerant people. She posted about it on Facebook. Another TV editor picked it up, and she posted, if anyone's going on a train at this time, hashtag I'll ride with you. It has been all over Twitter. I mean, we're talking thousands of tweets a minute.
Isn't that wonderful? The world according to tweet. Listen to number 24 now on the Savage Nation.
In light of terrorism or, you know, a racially motivated, religiously motivated attack, you know, the idea is Australians coming together and saying we are tolerant and we won't, you know, we will challenge this with peace.
Oh, isn't that nice? So they're already challenging the invisible backlashers, even though there aren't any. Right away, the psycho-liberals move into high gear, and they're ready for the, there is no backlash. How about the forelash of the Muslim who took hostages, you stupid idiots, you? And the most galling part of this Muslim terrorist act in Australia to me was the useful idiots in the media continuously repeating the banner and what it means. Continuously talking about the religious statement on that banner. It got me so crazy. They were doing exactly what this piece of garbage wanted them to do. So the question to the audience today on the Savage Nation is, what steps would you take to stop Islamic extremists from attacking you in this country, taking you hostage in a cafe, taking your children hostage in a school? What would you do right now? Now, you see, there used to be profiling until Mayor Bloomberg's pink shorts arrived in the mayor's office, and he eliminated the NYPD's ability in New York City, for example, to proactively monitor mosques where they knew radicalism was being preached, and radicals who would go off tended to congregate. There were many of them in New York and around America. We know that. But the liberal establishment cracked down and said, you can't do that. It's against civil liberties. The media wants to make this not about religion, except when they fear a backlash against Muslims. What about the forelash by the Muslim? The man was a known Muslim crazy man. Not so sure he was so crazy, by the way. How do we know he's crazy? He was an Iranian sheik out on bail for ex-wife's murder who compared the dead war heroes in Australia to Nazis, and he used to send hate letters to the parents of dead soldiers in Australia, and yet they didn't arrest him. This piece of garbage was given 300 hours of community service. I guess that would be working in a halal slaughterhouse for sending hate mail to the families of dead Australian soldiers killed fighting in Afghanistan. Calling herself the brother, Monis, this morning held staff and customers hostage in Sydney in what experts roundly believe to be a so-called lone wolf attack. None of these are lone wolf attacks. They're not lone wolf attacks. That's a cover-up for the fact that we're at war. It's a cover-up for the fact that they're at war. It's a cover-up for the fact that they've been given their marching orders by ISIS. They've been told to do these things. Don't give me this garbage about lone wolf. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. It's going to kill all of us. Tensions surface as Australian Muslims fear Sydney's siege backlash. Now, there was no backlash, but right away, the Muslim pressure groups were screaming and hiding behind racism already in advance. One man stood up and screamed outside the event, the cafe, "Someone is going to die here because of Islam. There is no such thing as moderate Islam. Wake up and smell the coffee." He was arrested immediately by the Australian PC police. And he was confronted by another man, a brainwashed liberal, who screamed, "Muslims are welcome here." The siege coincides with growing concerns in Australia about the dangers posed by Islamist militants. Islamist militants, right. So the question to the audience today on my program is, what would you do to prevent an Islamist terrorist attack in America? What steps would you take? And a secondary question is, why does the media hide the Islamic threat? All that entered my mind was, if each of them had had a gun, this piece of offal would have gone to his virgins within 5 minutes. Of course, that's assuming they want guns. That's assuming that he also wouldn't have had a handgun. I understand all of the ramifications, but these cowards thrive on the fact that most people have no way to defend themselves. What, are you going to throw a hot Frappuccino at him? You know, then you're going to hear the liberals saying that, you know, we failed him. He slipped through the cracks. If only there had been social services for irate Muslims. If only we had served them a hot halal cappuccino before the event. If only 1% of Australians would have converted to Islam, this wouldn't have happened. Wait, wait, you'll hear this. You'll hear this. You won't believe what's coming. Now, what you're hearing is a cover-up from the top to the bottom. We played a montage. You could not hear the word Islam, Muslim. You couldn't hear the word related to the actual situation. It was all about gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen, gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen, gunmen, hostage, hostage, gunmen. In the last segment, I read for you a story that is perhaps the sickest and saddest story I've ever read in my life. I couldn't sleep over the weekend when I first saw it. The Islamic State is using the Quran to justify child rape in a color brochure that they're giving out to the vermin who fight alongside them, the losers from around the world, the dregs of human societies everywhere. Go there so they can rape children and rape captured Christian and Yazidi women. And we're doing nothing because of the fraud in the White House. I'm not going to read you the rules for these vermin again, because you can find it yourself on michaelsavage.com. It was posted by CNN. If you think I'm a right-winger, then you may as well accuse CNN of being a right-wing outlet as well. Because CNN, to their credit, posted this first about buying and selling and beating female captives and raping children. It says it is permissible to have intercourse with the female slave who hasn't reached puberty if she is fit for intercourse, the so-called Islamic State rules said. However, if the slave is not fit for intercourse, he, the owner, can only enjoy her without intercourse. That's the religion of peace, and they use the Quran, and they use Sharia law to justify these activities or actions. Shall I ask you how you feel about that? Because I don't want to know how you feel about that. I know how I feel about it. And right away, we have I'll Ride Along With You hashtag all over the world. Right away, they're worried about the reaction, the so-called, the what do they call it now? The backlash against Islam. They're only concerned all of the knee-jerk, drug-addicted girls of the type that marched in Ferguson, of the idiots who laid down in Grand Central Station, the idiots who blocked the tunnels, the girls who were raised on Adderall, the lunatics raised on Ritalin and then Adderall, in liberal households. Right away, they're worried about the other side, never worried about the true victims here, which is society itself. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. A very emotional topic for me for one reason. We're losing the war. We're losing the war of ideas, and at the same time this is going on, Obama is flooding the country with 100,000 Muslims a month, so far as I understand. In this omnibus amnesty bill that the drunk Boehner passed, that sellout two-faced man-tan SOB, in that bill there are special clauses for special types of immigrants. And they are specifying that at least 100,000 Muslims a month will be permitted into this country. Now, I want to ask you, in an age of terror, does that make sense? Do you actually believe a government that can't deliver mail on time can vet or interview the 100,000 Muslims? First of all, they wouldn't do it because they would say they're singling them out. Why don't they also single out nuns from Ireland who want to come here? Do you understand how sick this is? I know this sounds harsh to people who've been brainwashed and raised on drugs from the time they're children. I know if you're a young person listening to Michael Savage, this is shocking to listen to. This is more shocking than Muslims who rape children. You're probably more angry with me than you are with the realities of these terrorists in Mosul raping young girls. In fact, you're more offended by me than you are by the Muslims in Mosul raping young girls. That, my friend, is not a product of my rhetoric. It's a product of your mental illness. Unbelievable to me what I have to put up with in this show. The word Islam, verboten. The word Muslim, verboten. Instead, they use acronyms such as gunman or such other phrases as Islamic State or ISIS. They don't even say Islamic State to avoid saying the word Islam. They call it ISIS to expunge the word Islam. So in Australia, it's hostage, it's gunmen, no mention of Muslim, no mention of Islam, no mention of the fact that this is not a lone wolf attack. What do you mean lone wolf attack? What does that actually mean, lone wolf attack? All the attacks we've had recently in America, we were told by the idiots in the government media complex, go about your business, nothing to worry about, it's a lone wolf attack. The Muslim in New York 2 weeks ago went in with a knife into a synagogue screaming, kill the Jews, stabbed a young Jewish boy in the face. Lone wolf attack, keep moving on, nothing to worry about. Everywhere you turn, nothing to worry about, keep moving on, leave it to the authorities. Leave it to those who can't deliver the mail on time to protect you from the next one. And then we talked about one of the most disturbing reports I've ever read in my life, and I didn't know how to deal with it over the weekend, where the Islamic State in Mosul, Iraq, is using the Quran to justify slave girls and justifying raping young girls. I could not understand how the world is not enraged by this. I couldn't understand why the UN doesn't say a word about this. I couldn't understand why our president, who feigns being a humanitarian, says nothing about child rape. There were so many things about it that disturbed me, especially in light of Feinstein's attack on the CIA. What if one of these Muslim fanatics was captured in Mosul and could tell us where little children were being raped? Would you not use waterboarding to get the information where those little girls are being raped? I would.
Savage.